Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. We've covered a lot of ground this morning. If you've missed anything, you can always pick it up on the podcast. Wherever you download your podcast, you can go there. We've also got them on the Odyssey app, 971talk.com. Whatever's easiest for you, you can pick up some great interviews. You got to go back and listen to the interview with Parents Defending Education last hour. 7:35, we talked about what's going on in the Parkway and other local school districts where your kid could now be called to the principal's office if they misgender someone. If you see a dude walking down the hallway, but who happens to identify as a she, and you misgender that person, your kid can be called to the principal's office. That is amazing to me. They've got the document. I put a link to it up on the Facebook page, Parents Defending Education. This is what our schools have come to. This is why who's on your school board matters so much. But anyway, please go listen to Erica Sanzi from Parents Defending Education, because it is eye-opening, no doubt about it. Big night for Kamala. Is it Kamala or Kamala? What did Bill Clinton call her? Go to cut number 10 real quick there, Carl. I'm going to go with Bill Clinton's pronunciation.
Ask for their help and then follow our leader, Kamala. We need Kamala Harris.
It's Kamala then. It must be okay if Bill Clinton said it, right?
Kamala.
I know. It has to be. He didn't say Monica. He said Kamala. Maybe that's what he was thinking. Monica, Kamala.
All I know is he did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. Not once. No one. I didn't lie for anyone. Isn't that what he said? How much has this guy's voice changed? I mean, he's almost unrecognizable in that speech last night.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Carl, play number 9 real quick. Just listen to the difference in his voice. Like, it's gone south.
I do want to say one word about President Biden. Remember, he had an improbable turn that made him president, and we were in the middle of a pandemic and an economic crash. He healed our sick and put the rest of us back to work.
Really?
He sounds like he's in his upper 80s.
Our alliances for peace and security. He stood up for Ukraine.
All right, that's enough. He's 78 years old. He made an age reference. I'm getting old, but I'm still younger than Donald Trump.
You sound about 100, if I'm being totally honest.
Put those two next to each other. I joked earlier that he sounds like that little talking man at the front of Dog Patch down there at the Lake of the Ozarks. Welcome to Dog Patch, he says when you walk in. Kind of sounds like Bill Clinton now. They could get him to voice that if he's looking for work, for sure. Maybe he just wants to get out of the house, get away from Hillary briefly.
He made sure to say Hillary had a fantastic speech.
He mention that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
I thought
me.
That's what she said, but I could be wrong. Anyway, let's get to our top stories here, Carl. We got
the Mark Cox shortlist.
Very smart guy, is a very good person. If he endorsed me, I would be honored by it. I would be very honored by it.
Yeah, I bet you would. That is, of course, the president on with Fox and Friends this morning talking about a potential RFK Jr. endorsement.
Because in Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. And even if we wouldn't make those same choices for ourselves, we've got a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
Yeah, they're really interested in mind your own damn business. Oh, by the way, they also want to tax your unrealized gains on your investments. Have you added that into your tax bill?
Yeah, they tried to cancel me a couple of times, but
he bounced.
So
back.
What? Yeah.
So what? Dennis Quaid talking about this new Reagan movie that comes out at the end of the month, and he's like, "Yeah, they're trying to make this political in a political year. It's a love story. It's a story of Ronald Reagan's life, And they can try to cancel me all they want, but it's not going to work.
We got 70 days to act right, y'all.
That's right.
Now, after 70 days, we can go back to acting crazy. Right?
Yep, the Democrats telling you what the deal is. They're crazy, but they need to act not crazy for 70 days. It's like, you know, that key time right before the wedding when you want to act normal, and then you can be yourself after you get married.
They're not doing a very good job of it, because if you've watched even a minute of the DNC, they're not acting normal.
No.
They're weird, as they like to call Donald Trump and J.D. Vance.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see some of the people they've interviewed at this thing? Holy cow.
You mean the guy in the dress? Or
that could be one of them, yeah.
But you know what? They're all about joy. What, that is the number one theme for them. Have you noticed that? Just about every single speaker who's walked up on that stage is like, I have joy.
It's weird that and some of their leading commentators are named Joy and Whoopi. But they talk about is doom and gloom and how awful Donald Trump is. They all have Trump derangement syndrome, for sure. Speaking of that guy, he was on Fox and Friends this morning. And you heard the tease I gave you there about his comments on a potential Robert F. Kennedy Jr. endorsement. What does he think about that? Is he expecting it? These were his extended comments on that this morning. Listen.
So I've known him for a long time. He's a he's a little different kind of a guy. Very smart guy. He's a very good person. If he endorsed me, I would be honored by it. I would be very honored by it. He really has his heart in the right place. He is a respected person. Women love some of his policies, and I guess some people don't like some of his policies, but overall, I thought the Democrats, he was a Democrat. I don't know what he is right now, but he was a Democrat. They treated him very badly. I think he would have, you know, he goes around saying he would have beaten Biden in the primary. I think there was a good chance. What they did to him was what they did to Biden. They really were harsh and threw him out. They wouldn't let him go to the vote. I mean, they made it impossible for him to compete in primaries because he was doing so well.
Yeah, I really believe that if this happens tomorrow, if RFK drops out and gives a full-throated endorsement, that's not a comment on how raspy his voice is. If he gives a full-throated endorsement of Donald Trump, it will be a revenge move on RFK Jr.'s part. I think he is so pissed off at how the Democrats treated him through all of this. His vice presidential candidate was clearly mad when she was talking about it yesterday, that they intentionally blocked him from ballots. They wouldn't let him participate in the primary at all. They wanted no questions about, no challenges, no serious challenges to Joe Biden, because the people in the White House knew then that Joe Biden was unfit for office. And they knew that if he had a serious challenger in the primary, he'd be forced to do a debate. He didn't have to do any of that. They were protecting him. And I think Kennedy's pretty mad about how he was treated. So if this happens tomorrow, let's hope it is the boost for Donald Trump. Even if it's a point or two, that's going to be significant this year, I think. All right, quick break. Shannon Bream is still in Chicago. Obviously, she's there covering the Democratic National Convention, getting ready for the big Kamala Harris speech tonight. Bill Clinton and I can call her that now and get away with it, because it's okay. It can't be racist or misogynist if Bill Clinton said it, right? I'm safe. We'll be back with Shannon in just a minute.
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You upgrade. They're not allowed to do their jobs. You've got to let the police do their jobs, number one. Number two, you have to do a policy of stop and frisk. When you see a guy coming down the street and you can, the police know every one of them. They know their middle name. They know where they live. They know every one of them, the local police, and they're great. You got to let them do their job. Stop and frisk and take their gun away. You've got to do it. If somebody has, because they have all these guns, you know, it's very interesting. The toughest gun law, the toughest by far in the whole United States, is in Chicago. And yet, it's the most
violent.
4th of July weekend, 117 people were shot and 17 died. Think of that. That's worse than Afghanistan. Afghanistan doesn't have that.
Get up, baby! Get up!
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. All right, Shannon, great to have you with us this morning, live in Chicago, I imagine. Huh? How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Yes, live from Chicago.
I was playing part of President Trump's comments on Fox and Friends this morning. In that particular case, he was talking about crime and Chicago crime specifically, right? And what a war. I saw J.D. Vance suggested that Tim Walz can now say he's been to a war zone.
Yes, I did see that. And I thought, gosh, these two sides have gotten very good at trolling each other.
Yes.
And campaign season, listen, we're coming into the home stretch. And so they're going to take every opportunity to take those digs. And yeah, I've been here in Chicago for a week. And it's been very interesting to watch all these different storylines playing out, you know, from the protesters to the messaging. You know, we're in the thick of it.
Tightly controlled messaging. What are you expecting from Kamala Harris tonight? Because I understand Trump has put out a little bit of an economic plan for her, suspecting what it's going to be. But we know she's trying to come across as a moderate.
Well, and the interesting thing is she's been part of course, the Biden-Harris administration.
Yeah.
And so we keep wondering, all right, where is she going to break ranks? Because all of our polling from every outlet out there shows that people don't feel like their financial situation is good for their family, the majority of people. So is she going to break? Will there be different economic policies? Because nothing has been articulated. I don't think she's going to get too much into detail tonight. I think it's going to be those broader themes of freedom, which is the theme of the DNC. But I think we're all anxious to see some policy prescriptions still not on their website, which is why the Trump fans folks are offering their own version of it.
Right.
But I think, conventions definitely, whether you're D or an R, it is cheering for your party, your excitement. But at some point, we've got to have details on policies.
What's been your biggest takeaway so far? Because we were listening to the Fox and Friends interview with Trump earlier, and he said how people have brought up his name 297 times, but they've actually said the border once.
Right. I've heard almost no discussion of the border at all here. And we've sat through hours and hours of speeches. There's much more of a warning about another Trump presidency, how dangerous it would be for people who are anything different than him. You know, there's a lot of scaring, I think, that's going on. And both sides will point to each other and say, you vote for that guy and it's an existential threat. You vote for her and it's the end of democracy, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But I have been a little bit surprised about how much focus there has been on you can't have another term of Trump versus here are our policies and why they're going to be great.
Yeah. And Oprah last night, you know, she's there because she's been a victim of income inequality. Isn't she worth like $1 billion?
Well, she's worth more than the three of us. Probably put together to the second or third power. But listen, you know, she has obviously made some forays into politics before. But I said last night, it felt like she was breaking up with half of America.
Yes.
Last night, because she's such a beloved figure, especially here in Chicago. And people, the Oprah brand is like few others out there. But she talked about, you know, there are those who will divide us and scare us and pit us against each other. And, you know, that's how half the country feels about Democrats. And I'm sure that's how Democrats feel about the other half of the country. So it was an interesting kind of cultural moment to see that she has clearly chosen her side. And, you know, she doesn't have a daily show anymore, but she does have all kinds of specials and magazines. And I wonder, you know, if there will be some out there who say, okay, you know, I felt like you were speaking down to my half of the country and I won't take those products anymore.
Yeah. Who have you landed for Sunday?
Well, I would tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
It's a secret.
No, we do have some things cooking, but not quite ready to announce those yet. But, you know, it won't surprise you. We're going to talk about the economy, those huge job revisions, and, of course, the campaign trail. And listen, we're keeping a close eye on the Middle East, too. Still no resolution there in a very tense situation.
Well, good luck with that Kamala Harris request. We're looking forward to it.
It's in. It remains an open door.
Shannon, be safe. We'll see you next week. We appreciate that. Shannon Bream, we'll be back here in just a minute.
While you're out on stage, there's reporting that RFK Jr. is going to drop out of the race by the end of this week. Have you spoken to him in the last 24 hours?
No, I haven't, but I respect him. I've respected him for a long time. I mean, I know where he's coming from, and it's a little different philosophy. Very smart guy, however, and I had heard he was thinking about it for a period of time, but no, I have not heard this, what you're telling me.
He's...
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
All right, Griff, that was a radio operator error. I played the wrong Trump bite. That was from yesterday and not his comments on RFK Jr. this morning on Fox and Friends.
Yeah, but that was an important one that you played. And by the way, let me just say, no one else may have the emotional attachment that I just had to you bumping into the Nax My Sharona, because my 9 year older, my brother's 9 years older. And when he went off to college, I was just starting high school. And the only thing and the top thing I wanted to steal from his room to make me a cool high school guy was his 6 foot Nax poster. Get the Knack, I think, was the album cover. Because remember, back in those days in the 80s, the posters were the album cover.
Exactly. Yeah, it came folded up in the album in many cases.
Really, that soundbite you played from Trump talking to my colleague, Grady Trimble, I think was even more telling than what we got this morning with my friends on Fox and Friends, because he talked about, he said that one point where he's like, I respect him, you know, I like him and all that stuff, but I'm going to be there Friday. He's hinting about the fact that, you know, on RFK Jr.'s website, he's on Twitter, he's saying he's making this big announcement. It's going to be from Arizona. Well, Trump's hinting too that, hey, we're both going to be in Arizona on the same day. And everybody's rumored about this, you know, Kennedy drop in endorsing Trump. And then it didn't get much play, but his running mate, the tech entrepreneur, Nicole Shanahan, did Dr. Drew's podcast late yesterday and told Dr. Drew, quote, Friday is going to be one of the biggest events in American election history.
Wow.
Now, I don't want to overstate things, and I can't speak for Mr. Kennedy, but many had suggested that Shanahan was possibly picked because she's got a ton of dough. And she was helping bankroll his campaign, which, to be fair, it was a strong, he waged a strong independent campaign. Look, he polled at 10% at one point. Yep. He nearly made it on the debate stage with Trump and Biden. But his campaign now is not only short on cash, but they're mired in all these lawsuits over ballot access. And the ballot access is in more than 20 states, and the Democrat Party's doing everything they can with a much larger budget to kick him off, because they don't want him in there. And so at the end of the day, there's an old adage, if your girl is your bankroller and she's saying big news is coming tomorrow, you can take that to the bank. Big news is coming.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd like some of that money for his own campaign. We've been talking this morning, Griff, about RFK Jr. dropping out endorsing Trump. Will that help Trump or possibly even hurt Trump?
So that's the great question. And in full disclosure to our listeners, I was texting when I heard you guys talking about it earlier, because I was listening a little bit to the show online. I sent Mark this New York Times Siena poll that basically says in the blue wall states of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, 41% of Kennedy voters said they backed Trump. 27% of Kennedy voters said they go for Harris. So that's, you know, a near 35% difference there in favor of Trump in the states that matter. Now, to be clear, at the current moment, Kennedy is on the ballot in Michigan and Pennsylvania, but he has votes, not full access, in Wisconsin.
Okay.
But many people are now saying that Michigan and Pennsylvania are critical states for not only for Trump to possibly win, but must wins for Harris. And so if there is an impact, Kim, and we only time will tell, and whether or not even Kennedy does go through with dropping out and backing Trump, there's at least this New York Times Siena poll, which is a snapshot in time, but it suggests that it could benefit Trump much more than it would Harris by just having the guy out of the race.
Yeah, I know you're an info junkie like we are. Griff, I was watching last night on the evening show, they had Mark Thiessen on there, and Thiessen was saying that he's not sure it's going to help Trump, because many people who were voting for RFK didn't like Kamala and they didn't like Trump. And he's not convinced that when RFK bows out, they're suddenly going to start liking Trump. Now, I hope he's wrong. And Jesse Waters said that to him last night. That's a smart take, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and again, you know, this is my favorite pastime other than surfing, and that is crystal balling the power brokers here in the Potomac. But, you know, if indeed he drops and endorses and joins forces with Trump, I think you're going to see a lot more rumblings, as we've already heard in the media, about a possible potential role for RFK Jr. in a future Trump administration. People keep pointing to being HHS. And of course, Trump voters will love that because that would suggest that Kennedy would go in there and just zap vaccines. That's where they were most likely together, because they're not together on all issues by any stretch of the means. But I think if you were an RFK person and you were turned off by it and otherwise probably just planning on sitting this one out, if you knew you're guy was going to be a part of this administration, that certainly would be an incentive, perhaps, or a carrot to get you to the ballot box.
Well, I guess we'll know soon enough. Any takeaways from Waltz last night? I mean, or Bill Clinton? I said Bill Clinton sounds like a caricature of himself. He's like James Carville these days. You really got to struggle to listen to the voice and realize it's the same guy.
Well, I loved he referred to himself as the man from Hope, Arkansas, which was, the great. I mean, look, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. He's from Arkansas. That's that Mid-South, that friendly Southern gentleman sort of thing. But notice he didn't refer to himself as the nickname that most of us remember, which was, of course,
Slick Willie.
But then, you know, I mean, look, he calling Vice President Harris the president of joy. There's no doubt that this convention is going to give Team Harris a boost.
But listen to cut 10 here real quick, because I thought this was interesting. Go to cut 10, Carl, please.
Ask for their help and then follow our leader, Kamala. We need Kamala Harris.
So wasn't Trump referred to as racist and misogynist for mispronouncing her name? Are they going to say anything to Bill?
Yeah, but it's okay if Clinton does it. Remember the double standard? Let me take you back to the 90s. So soon you've forgotten. He can do it, but Trump can't. That's how that works.
I think it's because it rhymes with Monica. Kamala, Monica. And then it's the way you hit the A at the end, and that's what reminded him of it.
Oh, boy. If you take me back to thinking about blue dresses, I am going to have a hard Thursday, my friend.
While you're out on stage, there's reporting that RFK Jr. is going to drop out of the race by the end of this week. Have you spoken to him in the last 24 hours?
No, I haven't, but I respect him. I've respected him for a long time. I mean, I know where he's coming from, and it's a little different philosophy. Very smart guy, however, and I had heard he was thinking about it for a period of time, but no, I have not heard this, what you're telling me.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back!
All right, Griff, that was a radio operator error. I played the wrong Trump bite. That was from yesterday and not his comments on RFK Jr. this morning on Fox and Friends.
Yeah, but that was an important one that you played. And by the way, let me just say, no one else may have the emotional attachment that I just had to you bumping into the Knacks, my Sharona, because my brother's 9 years older. And when he went off to college, I was just starting high school. And the only thing and the top thing I wanted to steal from his room to make me a cool high school guy was his 6-foot Knack poster. Get the Knack, I think, was the album cover. Because remember, back in those days in the 80s, the posters were the album cover.
Exactly. Yeah, it came folded up in the album in many cases.
Really? That soundbite you played from Trump talking to my colleague, Grady Trimble, I think was even more telling than what we got this morning with my friends on Fox and Friends, because he talked about, he said that one point where he's like, I respect him, you know, I like him and all that stuff, but I'm going to be there Friday. He's hinting about the fact that, you know, on RFK Jr.'s website, on Twitter, he's saying he's making this big announcement. It's going to be from Arizona. Well, Trump's hinting too that, hey, we're both going to be in Arizona on the same day. And everybody's rumored about this, you know, Kennedy drop in endorsing Trump. And then it didn't get much play, but his running mate, the tech entrepreneur, Nicole Shanahan, did Dr. Drew's podcast late yesterday and told Dr. Drew, quote, Friday is going to be one of the biggest events in American election history.
Wow.
Now, I don't want to overstate things, and I can't speak for Mr. Kennedy, but many had suggested that Shanahan was possibly picked because she's got a ton of dough. And she was helping bankroll his campaign, which, to be fair, it was a strong, he waged a strong independent campaign. Look, he polled at 10% at one point. Yep. He nearly made it on the debate stage with Trump and Biden. But his campaign now is not only short on cash, but they're mired in all these lawsuits over ballot access. And the ballot access is in more than 20 states, and the Democrat Party's doing everything they can with a much larger budget to kick him off, because they don't want him in there. And so at the end of the day, there's an old adage, if your girl is your bankroller and she's saying big news is coming tomorrow, you can take that to the bank. Big news is coming.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd like some of that money for his own campaign. We've been talking this morning, Griff, about RFK Jr. dropping out endorsing Trump. Will that help Trump or possibly even hurt Trump?
So that's the great question. And in full disclosure to our listeners, I was texting when I heard you guys talking about it earlier, because I was listening a little bit to the show online. I sent Mark this New York Times Siena poll that basically says in the blue wall states of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, 41% of Kennedy voters said they backed Trump. 27% of Kennedy voters said they go for Harris. So that's, you know, a near 35% difference there in favor of Trump in the states that matter. Now, to be clear, at the current moment, Kennedy is on the ballot in Michigan and Pennsylvania, but he has votes, not full access, in Wisconsin.
Okay.
But many people are now saying that Michigan and Pennsylvania are critical states for not only for Trump to possibly win, but must wins for Harris. And so if there is an impact, Kim, and only time will tell, and whether or not even Kennedy does go through with dropping out and backing Trump, there's at least this New York Times Siena poll, which is a snapshot in time, but it suggests that it could benefit Trump much more than it would Harris by just having the guy out of the race.
Yeah, I know you're an info junkie like we are. Griff, I was watching last night on the evening show, they had Mark Thiessen on there, and Thiessen was saying that he's not sure it's going to help Trump, because many people who were voting for RFK didn't like Kamala and they didn't like Trump. And he's not convinced that when RFK bows out, they're suddenly going to start liking Trump. Now, I hope he's wrong. And Jesse Waters said that to him last night. That's a smart take, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and again, you know, this is my favorite pastime other than surfing, and that is crystal balling the power brokers here in the Potomac. But, you know, if indeed he drops and endorses and joins forces with Trump, I think you're going to see a lot more rumblings, as we've already heard in the media, about a possible potential role for RFK Jr. in a future Trump administration. People keep pointing to being HHS. And of course, Trump voters love that, because that would suggest that Kennedy would go in there and just zap vaccines. That's where they were most likely together, because they're not together on all issues by any stretch of the means. But I think if you were an RFK person and you were turned off by it and otherwise probably just planning on sitting this one out, if you knew your guy guy was going to be a part of this administration, that certainly would be an incentive, perhaps, or a carrot to get you to the ballot box.
Well, I guess we'll know soon enough. Any takeaways from Waltz last night? I mean, or Bill Clinton? I said Bill Clinton sounds like a caricature of himself. He's like James Carville these days. You really got to struggle to listen to the voice and realize it's the same guy.
Well, I loved he referred to himself as the man from Hope, Arkansas, which was, the great. I mean, look, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. He's from Arkansas. That's that Mid-South, that friendly Southern gentleman sort of thing. But notice he didn't refer to himself as the nickname that most of us remember, which was, of course,
Slick Willie.
But then, calling Vice President Harris the president of joy. There's no doubt that this convention is going to give Team Harris a boost.
But listen to cut 10 here real quick, because I thought this was interesting. Go to cut 10, Carl, please.
Ask for their help and then follow our leader, Kamala. We need Kamala Harris.
So wasn't Trump referred to as racist and misogynist for mispronouncing her name? Are they going to say anything to Bill?
Yeah, but it's okay if Clinton does it. Remember the double standard? Let me take you back to the 90s. So soon you've forgotten. He can do it, but Trump can't. That's how that works.
I think it's because it rhymes with Monica. Kamala, Monica. And then it's the way you hit the A at the end, and that's what reminded him of it.
Oh, boy. If you take me back to thinking about blue dresses, I am going to have a hard Thursday, my friend. That's for sure. I'll just leave it at this. All that really matters is what the godmother thinks about it.
Oh,
if
yeah.
If the godmother's okay with it, then it doesn't matter. If she's pissed, then we've got a problem.
Yeah, Joe Biden found a horse head in his bed, I understand. That's why he decided to call it quits.
I just think it's unbelievable that people are wearing these Pelosi godmother pins. I mean, if you're Joe Biden, it's tough enough to have to sit at home in front of the TV, with a bag of popcorn watching what should have been your convention. I mean, he stood up a very competitive campaign and then, had a really bad debate that really revealed the fact that he's just not fit to keep running. But at the same time, he also gracefully just handed it over. And now not only does he get pushed out, but they're making like heroes out of those that pushed him out. The Obamas their night, and then now the godmother Pelosi pins on all the delegates.
Well, Griff, keep up the good work. Should be a high drama tonight as well.
It will be indeed. And look, we'll see what we get in the Harris speech tonight. It's no doubt the biggest speech of her life.
No doubt. All right. We'll talk to you next week, Griff. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See you. Griff Jenkins, Fox News. We're going to be back here in just a minute. Stay tuned. All right. I might have mentioned this a time or two, but we have a listener comment line now. You can go to the app and hit the record button, and you can send in your thoughts on, news of the day. Today we've been talking about people who are Republicans but who claim to be pro-choice, and we got a few messages from people trying to explain what motivated them on that, if that's how they felt. We also had somebody commenting earlier on the Republican Party saying one thing but doing something else when they get in power. Hit it, Carl.
Hey, gang. Good morning. It's Richie. On behalf of frustrated conservatives everywhere, I just want to trash the Republicans. You run on platforms like tax cuts, but then when you get into office, you don't make the necessary spending cuts to offset the loss of revenue of your tax cuts. So zero progress, thanks. Same thing goes with this abortion issue. If you're going to run on a pro-life platform and threaten things like defunding Planned Parenthood, which you should, tax dollars shouldn't be subsidizing abortion, take those tax dollars that you cut from Planned Parenthood and spend them on counseling programs and adoption services for these desperate young women who are just otherwise forced to make the worst decision they're ever going to make. Say the right thing, do the right thing, follow through. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I have no problem with that concept.
I think that he makes a good point. I think he's right. I mean, there is a tendency as it relates to tax cuts and overspending, and the Republicans do it too. And I wholeheartedly support that. I mean, I obviously want Planned Parenthood across the country defunded. But you're right. I mean, put that into some of these pro-life services or counseling services or something that's going to help women.
And Right to Life and a few other organizations do provide things like that.
Yes.
I've heard of.
But give them that money is what we should do.
Some more federal money spent on that.
Right.
Yeah. Take money you would have given to Planned Parenthood and spend it that way.
Give it to Right to Life. I mean, yeah. There's all these fantastic organizations that are already doing that. Give them money to reach more people.
Well, I mean, it's certainly food for thought. I don't disagree with them on the spending thing either. Republicans get in office and they cut taxes. It's one of the things that absolutely just drives me up a wall when a Democrat will say, well, you just cost the federal government trillions of dollars with that tax cut. Well, no, you didn't cost the government anything. You let people keep their money to spend the way they see fit instead of giving it to you as a bureaucrat to spend the way you see fit. That's not an expense to was that me again, Carl?
Yeah.
I don't know why that's happening. That's not an expense to government. Tax cuts are the people getting to keep more of their own money. But to his point, many times we've cut taxes and not forced equivalent spending cuts. It's the spending that's the problem in this country, not the revenue. And Republicans are absolutely guilty of that. The Democrats are never willing. They have, and I heard Rick Santelli say this earlier, and he's great anyway, but he said one reason that they want to tax unrealized gains is because discretionary spending is such a small slice of the pie that all they're worried about at the federal government level is revenue. And listen to his comments on it. I thought he was absolutely right. If you're wondering why they're coming after your retirement accounts, guess what? They have to. Hold on. Carl, I turned my computer down to stop the dinging, and then you can't hear what's being said.
Things we're learning about taxing and taxing unrealized profits. I will tell you this. Bank robbers rob banks because that's where the money is. It's a fait accompli. We are now so far in the hole, almost $2 trillion this year. If you look at all the numbers, they have to find money somewhere. Discretionary spending, that slice of the pie is so small, you need to, you know, a microscope to see it. You can't cut your way to prosperity there. So they're going to have to get the money from somewhere.
He's right. They want to, just so you're clear on this, whether Kamala Harris wants to admit it right now or not, their plan is to tax unrealized gains. Do you just let that soak into your brain for a minute? You've put your money in the bank. You've let it grow. It you haven't cashed out any of your stocks. Maybe you bought Nvidia when it was $2 a share. It's $100 a share. That's an unrealized gain, but you're not supposed to be taxed on it until you sell it. And then you realize the gain, and then you have to report that to the government. And then if you've held it long enough, you're taxed at 15%. If you've held it a shorter amount of time. But if we're talking about long-term gains here, it would be 15%. They want to go in and look at how much your stuff is appreciated and start taxing you on it before you realize the gain. Well, what if NVIDIA tanks and it's back to $2 a share next year? You got taxed on a 98% improvement, and then the stock dropped back to virtually nothing. Now, I don't think that's going to happen with NVIDIA. Don't take me wrong. But that's the insanity of what the left in this country wants to do, because they're desperate to get more of your money. And if you need money, rob a bank, because that's where the money is.
Yep.
That they're about to rob you.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It's bogus.
Just so you know what's going on out there, folks. Spread the word. Oh, and by the way, no on three. Repeat that to all your friends. No on Amendment 3. All right, stick around. Brian Kilmeade's up. I'm sure he'll have a much bigger recap of the interview this morning they had with Donald Trump on Fox and Friends. We will have full coverage for you tomorrow of whatever it is Kamala Harris announces to the nation tonight in her speech. Full coverage of the DNC speech tomorrow morning right here on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.
All right, I might have mentioned this a time or two, but we have a listener comment line now. You can go to the app and hit the record button, and you can send in your thoughts on, news of the day. Today we've been talking about people who are Republicans, but who claim to be pro-choice, and we got a few messages from people trying to explain what motivated them on that, if that's how they felt. We also had somebody commenting earlier on The Republican Party saying one thing but doing something else when they get in power. Hit it, Carl.
Hey, gang. Good morning. It's Richie. On behalf of frustrated conservatives everywhere, I just want to trash the Republicans. You run on platforms like tax cuts, but then when you get into office, you don't make the necessary spending cuts to offset the loss of revenue of your tax cuts. So zero progress, thanks. Same thing goes with this abortion issue. If you're going to run on a pro-life platform and threaten things like defunding Planned Parenthood, which you should, tax dollars shouldn't be subsidizing abortion, take those tax dollars that you cut from Planned Parenthood and spend them on counseling programs and adoption services for these desperate young women who are just otherwise forced to make the worst decision they're ever going to make. Say the right thing, do the right thing, follow through. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I have no problem with that concept.
I think that he makes a good point. I think he's right. I mean, there is a tendency as it relates to tax cuts and overspending, and the Republicans do it too. And I wholeheartedly support that. I mean, I obviously want Planned Parenthood across the country defunded, but you're right. I mean, put that into some of these pro-life services or counseling services or something that's going to help women.
And Right to Life and a few other organizations do provide things like that.
Yes.
I've heard of.
But give them that money is what we should do.
Some more federal money spent on that.
Right.
Yeah. Take money you would have given to Planned Parenthood and spend it that way.
Give it to Right to Life. I mean, yeah. There's all these fantastic organizations that are already doing that. Give them money to reach more people.
Well, I mean, it's certainly food for thought. I don't disagree with them on the spending thing either. Republicans get in office and they cut taxes. It's one of the things that absolutely just drives me up a wall when a Democrat will say, well, you just cost the federal government trillions of dollars with that tax cut. Well, no, you didn't cost the government anything. You let people keep their money to spend the way they see fit instead of giving it to you as a bureaucrat to spend the way you see fit. That's not an expense to was that me again, Carl?
Yeah.
I don't know why that's happening. That's not an expense to government. Tax cuts are the people getting to keep more of their own money. But to his point, many times we've cut taxes and not forced equivalent spending cuts. It's the spending that's the problem in this country, not the revenue. And Republicans are absolutely guilty of that. The Democrats are never willing. They have, and I heard Rick Santelli say this earlier, and he's great anyway, but he said one reason that they want to tax unrealized gains is because discretionary spending is such a small slice of the pie that all they're worried about at the federal government level is revenue. And listen to his comments on it. I thought he was absolutely right. If you're wondering why they're coming after your retirement accounts, guess what? They have to. Hold on. Carl, I turned my computer down to stop the dinging, and then you can't hear what's being said.
Things we're learning about taxing and taxing unrealized profits. I will tell you this. Bank robbers rob banks because that's where the money is. It's a fait accompli. We are now so far in the hole, almost $2 trillion this year. If you look at all the numbers, they have to find money somewhere. Discretionary spending, that slice of the pie is so small, you need to, you know, a microscope to see it. You can't cut your way to prosperity there. So they're going to have to get the money from somewhere.
He's right. They want to, just so you're clear on this, whether Kamala Harris wants to admit it right now or not, their plan is to tax unrealized gains. Do you just let that soak into your brain for a minute? You've put your money in the bank. You've let it grow. You haven't cashed out any of your stocks. Maybe you bought Nvidia when it was $2 a share. It's $100 a share. That's an unrealized gain, but you're not supposed to be taxed on it until you sell it, and then you realize the gain, and then you have to report that to the government, and then if you've held it long enough, you're taxed at 15% if you've held it a shorter amount of time. But if we're talking about long-term gains here, it would be 15%. They want to go in and look at how much your stuff is appreciated and start taxing you on it before you realize the gain. Well, what if NVIDIA tanks and it's back to $2 a share next year? You got taxed on a 98% improvement And then the stock dropped back to virtually nothing. Now, I don't think that's going to happen with NVIDIA. Don't take me wrong. But that's the insanity of what the left in this country wants to do, because they're desperate to get more of your money. And if you need money, rob a bank, because that's where the money is.
Yep.
That they're about to rob you.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It's bogus.
Just so you know what's going on out there, folks. Spread the word. Oh, and by the way, no on three. Repeat that to all your friends. No on Amendment 3. All right. Stick around. Brian Kilmeade's up. I'm sure he'll have a much bigger recap of the interview this morning they had with Donald Trump on Fox and Friends. We will have full coverage for you tomorrow of whatever it is Kamala Harris announces to the nation tonight in her speech. Full coverage of the DNC speech tomorrow morning right here on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.